RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo underlines the importance of family planning. Indonesia is targeting the biggest 10 contributor country to the UN peacekeeping force. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has underlined the importance of family planning in ensuring that Indonesia develops in a proper way. If Indonesia wants to be a developed nation, it starts from the family. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo when reviewing the family planning program in Piyungan District Bantul, Yogyakarta on Monday. He also said the families play an important role in development of any country workforces. President Joko Widodo added that parents should be concerned with and should support education and health of their children. The children should complete their study right till the university level. In addition, the head of state urged the National Demography and Family Planning Agency, head Surya Chandra Surapati, to oversee the family planning program. During his speech, President Joko Widodo was accompanied by First Lady Iriana Widodo, Coordinating Human Rights and Culture Minister Puan Maharani, Minister of State Secretary Pratikno Yogyakarta Governor Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono, and Head of BKBN Surya Chandra Surapati. As part of Series of Activists World Culture Forum 2016, WCF, the culture visit has successfully attracted the attention of participants. Moreover, the participants were presented with a variety of art performances from various regions in Indonesia, especially during the visit of Setia Dharma House of Mass and Pavit Inggianyar Bali. The visit was opened with Tortor Marmian Mian Dance, a traditional dance from North Sumatra performed by children finalists of National Children Dance Festival. The dance was dedicated to welcome the participants in the main hall of Setia Dharma House of Mass and Pavits. Afterwards, the participants walked to six pavilions in Setia Dharma House of Mass and Pavit, in which exhibited a variety of mass, both domestic and abroad. Director General of Culture and Education at the Culture Minister of Republic of Indonesia, Hilmar Faris, said on Monday in Gianyar Bali, the variety of art performances displayed in the cultural visit in the past day of the World Culture Forum 2016 aim to show the color of Indonesian culture to the world. Indonesia is the largest contributor in the UN interim force in Lebanon, UNIFIL. It is also the 11th largest contributor to the peacekeeping missions of the 123 countries which contribute personnel and UN peacekeepers. Since 2014, Indonesia has sent 2,867 peacekeeping personnel. This was stated by Minister Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi when giving a briefing on pre-assignment training mechanized battalion task force of TNI Konga, 23rd K UNIFIL Peacekeeping Mission Center in Sentul, West Java on Monday. Minister Retno said that Indonesia target to send 4,000 personnel of UN peacekeepers in 2019. She is also targeting Indonesia into the biggest 10 countries contributing personnel of UN peacekeeping forces in the world.
Mudah-mudahan Indonesia akan menjadi negara penyumbang ke-10.
Hopefully, Indonesia will become the 10th largest contributor of peacekeepers to the world, especially for UNIFIL in Lebanon. Indonesia, the biggest contributors to UNIFIL mission by 1,296 in tens of personnel number. So, UNIFIL mission is the largest peacekeeping mission. Minister Retno Marsudi further said, in addition to Indonesia, UNIFIL is also reinforced by troops from 40 countries with a total 11,345 personnel. total personnel who were sent to the Yomete Naikonga 23rd KT Force consists of 850, including 18 women personnel, and plans to join the UNIFIL mission in Lebanon in December 2016. In the briefing, Minister Retno also pointed out that Indonesia also advised all peacekeepers to give away from the action and behavior that could harm the good image of UN peacekeeping force and the good image of Indonesia, such as sex exploitation and abuse. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi asked Indonesian peacekeepers to spread the values of tolerance and peace. During briefing of the UN interim force in Lebanon, UNIFIL, in the peacekeeping mission Tiana in Central West Java on Monday, Minister Retno affirmed that maintaining peace is important, but it's more important to prevent conflicts by maintaining peace itself. Thus, the peacekeepers must prevent conflicts by spreading the values of tolerance and peace.
Oleh karena itu, di dalam melakukan tugas saya ini,
when you are on duty, I want to give a message to all of you. My friends, spread the values of tolerance and peace at friends' places, which will be assigned later. There are so many conflicts in this world. It has been quite a lot, and no more new conflicts. The mission of peace is also a duty to create conducive conditions for development. Minister Retno Marsudi further said Indonesia would nominate a non-permanent member state of UN Security Council in 2019-2020 with the theme "A True Partner for World Peace," or "A True Partner for Peace in the World." She also emphasized that the peace mission undertaken by the UN interim force in Lebanon will indirectly contribute to Indonesia to be able to become a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. UNESCO Chief Indonesia Sabas Khan said in Tabanan, Bali on Monday that the World Cultural Forum WCF is a meeting which has important purpose for peace and sustainable development. During his visit in Jati Luwi Subang region, Sabas Khan said that WCF will be the momentum for the world community to share experiences in that effort.
Yeah, this is a very special forum which brings together culture for peace and sustainable development. Not only from Indonesia, but from all over the world. But it's a very big effort of the government of Indonesia to take the leadership.
Furthermore, Sabas Khan added that the implementation of Bali Culture Forum, WCF, in 2016 is the second time after Pipsil Hajj in 2013. He also pointed out that this year the forum is in line with the UN efforts to achieve sustainable development goals by 2030. He also added that YI Bali is chosen as the implementation WCF in 2016 because the island has a lot of cultural heritage which is supported by the communities who cooperate to create peace through cultural messages. The last item, culture is an important aspect that must be considered in order to resolve the problems of the world. Chief of UNESCO Indonesia Sabas Khan during the World Culture Forum WCF in 2016, taking place in Tabanan, Bali on Monday, said the cultural aspect and import have an important role to create peace in the world. He also said that intercultural dialogue can create in-depth understanding of public relations that can handle a wide range of social conflicts, even worse in the world.
Our biggest problem in the world is non-inclusiveness and inequality and problem of interfaith harmony. So all these issues can be resolved if we try to understand each other's culture and create intercultural dialogue. If there would be better peace around the world, then we will be able to also find ways to have better livelihood for the people, give respect to their basic human rights.
Furthermore, Sabas Khan appreciated the Indonesian government's efforts to create peace in the country. He said that Indonesia can integrate elements of education and culture. Indonesia is also a country that can harmonize the existing diversity. He views that Indonesia is a good example for the world to resolve ongoing conflicts. He added that WCF 2016 also provides an opportunity for all participants who come from all over the world to look at the cultural aspect in different ways. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled International Day of the Girl Child. Today, Tuesday, October 11, 2016, is the International Day of the Girl Child. The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, is one of organizations under United Nations in charge of the interests of children, including girls. Recently, UNICEF has reported that worldwide girls use 40% or more time to do the household chores without pay compared to boys. The report is based on estimate that 2 out of 3 girls, especially in developing countries, must help cooking and cleaning the house, and almost half also fetching water or collecting firewood. They also perform household tasks that are less feasible as caring for other children or the elderly. For most countries, girls often do more work than boys, but only to the extent of food at home, such as the kitchen and caring for the household members. Without exception, for Indonesia, most of the girls, in addition to going to school, must also perform daily work at home, although under the pretext it is a routine, so later when they are grown up, they are not clumsy in doing household chores. One of the problems, which is quite prominent and very alarming now, is child trafficking, especially girls to be forced as a commercial sex. This case, that often happens, is less exposed or reported by the media. The extent to which such case is resolved by law enforcement seems unreported by many media. In fact, it is sometimes becoming political consumption only. The issue of child trafficking is often echoed and becomes a main focus by political campaigners. Afterwards, the case seems to disappear in the bustle of political activities. Every country must have a variety of cases involving girls and have their own way to solve them. UNICEF, as a world body, also has formula to settle such problems. Yet it would be nice if in this month of October, when the world is observing International Day of the Girl Child, all parties begin to introspect to what extent they have cared for and treated the girl children, so they can also live a happy life in the society. Happy International Day of the Girl Child. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with October the 11th, 1968. Apollo 7 was launched. Apollo 7 was a 1968 human space flight mission carried out by the United States of America. It was the first mission in the U.S. Apollo's program to carry a crew into space. It was also the first U.S. space flight to carry astronauts since the flight of Gemini 12 in November 1966. Apollo 7 was the first three-person American space mission and the first to include a live TV broadcast from an American spacecraft. It was successfully launched on October 11, 1968 from what was then known as Cape Kennedy Air Force Station, Florida. Despite tension between the crew and ground controllers, the mission was a complete technical success, giving confidence to send Apollo 8 into orbit around the moon 2 months later. Next is from October 11, 1984, Aeroflot Flight 3352 plane crash. Aircraft Aeroflot Flight 3352 was flying from Krasnodar to the local Novosibirsk, Russia, when landing at the airport Omsk on Thursday, October 11, 1984, the plane hit a maintenance vehicle on the runway. The accident killed 174 people on board and 4 airport personnel. The main cause of this accident was the air traffic controller who fell asleep while on duty. Until 2015, this accident is still the deadliest aviation accident in the territory of Russia. Let's end with October 11, 2012, International Day of the Girl Child is first observed. International Day of the Girl Child is an international observance day declared by the United Nations. It is also called the Day of the Girl and the International Day of the Girl. October 11, 2012 was the first Day of the Girl Day. The observation supports more opportunity for girls and increases awareness of gender inequality faced by girls worldwide based upon their gender. This inequality includes areas such as right to education, access to education, nutrition, legal rights, medical care, and protection from discrimination, violence against women, and unfree child marriage. On December 19, 2011, the United Nations General Assembly voted to pass a resolution adopting October 11, 2012 as the inaugural International Day of the Girl Child. The resolution states that the Day of the Girl recognizes the empowerment of and investment in girls. They are critical for economic growth, the achievement of all Millennium Development Goals, including the eradication of poverty and extreme poverty, as well as the meaningful participation of girls in decisions that affect them. Those are key in breaking the cycle of discrimination and violence and in promoting and protecting the full and effective enjoyment of their human rights. Also, recognizing that empowering girls requires their active participation in decision-making processes and the active support and engagement of their parents, legal guardians, families, and care providers, as well as boys and men and the wider community. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakas.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is fighting illegal fishing through global collaboration. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Illegal fishing practices have developed into serious organized and transnational crime and must be fought through global collaboration. President Joko Widodo, during the opening of the second International Symposium on Fishery Crime at Gedung Agung Presidential Palace, Jakarta, as released by Antara on Monday, stated that illegal fishing is also associated with direct crimes such as smuggling of goods and people, illegal workers, drug smuggling and violation of nature protection regulation and hygiene. If rampant illegal, unreported and unregulated IUU fishing is else allowed to continue, the sustainability of the earth where people are living together, the whole of all, would be threatened. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo said that hosting the second International Symposium on Fisheries Crime is an honor for Indonesia. But the symposium is a clear evidence of international commitment and joint action to overcome the problem of illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo also said more and more countries and international institutions have realized that illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing is a transnational crime with tremendous negative impact worldwide. It is limited not only to fishing industry but also environmental issues. He added that the sustainability of Indonesian oceans, which cover 71% of its territory, is threatened by the practice of illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing. President Joko Widodo also said the ocean is the source of income for 520 million people worldwide and a food source of 2.6 billion people. He views that the practice of illegal fishing has reduced fish stock by 90.1%. Experience shows that Indonesia could not let the problem of the illegal fishing continue. In 2014, according to data from the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, Indonesia is ranked second in the world's largest producer of marine fish with a total catch of 6 million tons, equivalent to 6.8% of total world production. The number is still below the maximum potential of Indonesia because there is still the practice of illegal fishing that causes Indonesia's economy to suffer loss amounting to $20 billion per year, including 65% of coral reefs, which is threatened. President Joko Widodo said Indonesia continues to intensify efforts to fight illegal fishing practices by sinking ships and boats. The results have begun to be seen. Level of exploitation of fish in Indonesia declined between 30 to 35%, enabling Indonesia to increase its national fish stock from 7.3 million tons in 2013 to 9.9 million tons in 2015. Besides, from January to June 2016, there was an increase in export of Indonesian fishery products amounting to 7.34% compared to the same period in 2015. Indonesia is not complacent and will continue to learn from the success of other countries in the fight against illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has underlined the importance of family planning in ensuring that Indonesia develops in a proper way. If Indonesia wants to be a developed nation, it starts from the family. This was stated by President Joko Widodo when reviewing the family planning program in Piyungan District, Bantul, Yogyakarta on Monday. As part of the series activities of World Culture Forum 2016, the culture visit has successfully attracted the attention of participants. Moreover, the participants were presented with a variety of art performance from Paris regions in Indonesia, especially during the visit to Setia Dharma House of Mass and Pavit in Gianyar, Bali. Indonesia is the largest contributor to the UN interim force in Lebanon, UNIFIL. It is also the 11th largest contributor to the peacekeeping mission of 123 countries which contribute personnel and UN peacekeepers. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi asked Indonesian peacekeepers to spread the values of tolerance and peace. UNESCO Chief of Indonesian Sabah Kant said in Tabanan, Bali on Monday that the World Culture Forum WCF is a meeting which has important purpose for peace and sustainable development. Culture is an important aspect that must be considered in effort to resolve the problems of the world. Chief of UNESCO Indonesia Sabah Kant during the World Culture Forum WCF 2016 taking place in Tabanan, Bali on Monday said the cultural aspect had an important role to create peace in the world. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, what a pleasure to meet you again for our Indonesian Wonder program, a daily segment featuring tourism, cuisines, and arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we invite you to travel to Banten Province. Stay tuned. Listener, although called a mega metropolitan city with thousands of high-rise office buildings, you can still enjoy nautical tourism. There is Kepulauan Seribu or Thousand Islands that offers underwater beauty and biodiversity. In addition, there is also Pulau Tunda or Tunda Island, which is located not far from Kepulauan Seribu or Thousand Islands, technically in Banten Province. Tunda Island not only offer beautiful beach views, but also display exotic coral reefs and diverse marine life, making it competitive with Kepulauan Seribu. Getting to Tunda Island is very easy. From Jakarta, you start on Kebon Jeruk Tol Merak, then take Tol East Serang, all the way to Karanghantu or Karanghantu Dock. The trip to Karanghantu Port continues by sea after renting a fishing boat. The trip takes approximately 2 hours. In addition to renting a boat, you can also use KMP Tunda Airport. The flight schedule from Karanghantu Port or to Pulau Hantu departs around 1 p.m., while the vessels from Pulau Tunda to Karanghantu port leaves at 7 p.m. During the trip to Tunda Island, you will enjoy the beauty of the island in the sea. You will be enchanted by the island's natural beauty and the fresh air. The water is clean and the forest is still dense. There are a variety of activities to do in Pulau Tunda, such as snorkeling, fishing, jungle trekking, and watching the sunset. If you're lucky enough, you can also see dolphins in the waters of Pulau Tunda. From Pulau Tunda, you can see volcanoes, namely Anak Gunung Krakatau. If you're eager, you can climb the Mount Anak Krakatau. The ship travel time is about 1.5 hours. Listener, on the uninhabited island of 1,700 souls, you can rent houses at a relatively affordable price. This includes 3 meals. For those interested in visiting the island, tour guides are available. Travel guides can provide transport facilities, accommodations, and meals while touring Tunda Island. On average, the price ranges from 300,000 to 500,000 rupiah, depending on your point of origin, Jakarta or Serang. Well, listener, that was the latest episode of Indonesian Wonder featuring the Pulau Tunda or Tunda Island. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We meet again tomorrow with more interesting topics.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is Belajar Melakukan Pekerjaan Rumah or in English, Learning Household Chores. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Melakukan, melakukan. In English, to do. Pekerjaan rumah tangga, pekerjaan rumah tangga. Household chores. Anak perempuan, anak perempuan. Daughter. Kamu, kamu, you, pintar, pintar, smart. Umur berapa, how old, berumur 6 tahun, berumur 6 tahun, 6 year old. Bersekolah, bersekolah, to study or go to school. Taman kanak-kanak, taman kanak-kanak, kindergarten. Belajar, belajar, to learn. Mengajarkan, mengajarkan, to teach. Dia, dia, she. Merapikan tempat tidur, merapikan tempat tidur, to make the bed. Sendiri, sendiri, by herself. Memberi makanan, to feed. Hewan peliharaan, pets. Kecil, kecil, little. Anak, anak, children. Sedikit demi sedikit, sedikit demi sedikit, step by step. Setuju, setuju, agree. Next is a conversation on belajar melakukan pekerjaan rumah tangga or in English, learning household chores. As usual, I say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Tuti and Annie at the office. Tuti, anak perempuan kamu pintar sekali. Umur berapa dia? Tuti, anak perempuan kamu pintar sekali. Umur berapa dia? In English, Tuti, your daughter is really smart. How old is she? Dia sudah berumur 6 tahun. Dia sudah berumur 6 tahun. She is already 6 year old. Dia bersekolah di taman kanak-kanak. Dia bersekolah di taman kanak-kanak. She is in kindergarten. Tapi pintar sekali. Apakah dia sudah belajar melakukan pekerjaan rumah tangga? Tapi pintar sekali. Apakah dia sudah belajar melakukan pekerjaan rumah tangga? But she is really smart. Has she learned to do household chores? Ya, saya mengajarkan dia menyiram bunga, melipat baju, membereskan mainan, mengelap meja, dan juga menyapu lantai. Ya, saya mengajarkan dia menyiram bunga, melipat baju, membereskan mainan, mengelap meja, dan juga menyapu lantai. Yes, She has. I taught her watering the garden, folding the clothes, putting away her toys, wiping tables, and also sweeping the floor. Pasti kamu juga sudah mengajarkan dia merapikan tempat tidurnya sendiri. Pasti kamu sudah mengajarkan dia merapikan tempat tidurnya sendiri. You must have taught her to make her own bed. Betul. Selain itu, dia juga bisa memberi makan hewan peliharaan. Betul. Selain itu, dia juga bisa memberi makan hewan peliharaan. That's right. Besides, she also can feed the pets. Ya, dari kecil anak memang harus belajar sedikit demi sedikit melakukan pekerjaan rumah tangga. Ya, dari kecil anak memang harus belajar sedikit demi sedikit melakukan pekerjaan rumah tangga. Yes, children should learn house chores step by step. Betul, saya setuju. Betul, saya setuju. That's right, I agree with you. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern. In today's edition, we'll present to you some dangdut music. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Sembako Cinta by Thomas Jorge. It's Monday.
Kurang satu, bisa kurang mesranya. diperlukan hanyalah hai sembah.
Listener, that was a song, Sembako Cinta, sung by Thomas Djorghi. Song about the 9 basic commodities needed in order to remain intimate love. This is the first single by Thomas Djorghi to enter the dangdut music in the country. The Sembako Cinta song is not original Indonesian dangdut song. This song is adapted from an Indian song entitled Savan Ka Mahina, with music that is almost the same but with different lyrics. Sembako Cinta song was at that time almost well received by dangdut music lovers in the country. Through this song, the singer whose career as a model and film star was also widely known as an Indonesian dangdut singer. Success with this first single, Thomas Djorghi then released their second single entitled Umpan Cinta. The song composed by Fazal Dutt tells the story about someone who was enamored with the beauty and Kamlines woman. His music is quite unique by incorporating elements of Middle Eastern music in their songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Umpan Cinta by Thomas Djorghi.
Thank you. di tubuhmu mengandung umpan.
In 2016, Thomas Djorghi re-released a single entitled Sudah Ku Tahu. The song was composed by Razis bin Zainuddin, a songwriter from Malaysia. Originally, the song is a pop song, but then recycled into dangdut music genre. Thomas' latest single is about a feeling that mocked by his partner, where the sincerity of his love is not respected anymore. With all the sacrifices that have been done, it is only in one eye view, and too often the things he does are not respected. But the lover still be patient to deal with it, and until he was injured and went away from his partner, and he was confident as possible, without her love, he will be happy. The song brings a more modern dangdut music with lyrics that melodious and easy to digest. In addition to releasing several single songs, the singer, born in 1969, was actually already been released one album entitled Raja Cinta in 2006. The album contained some songs' previous singles as a bait in love and a couple of new songs. One of the new songs on the album is a song entitled Teka Teki Cinta. The song tells a love that is portrayed like a puzzle. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sudah Ku Tahu and Teka Teki Cinta by Thomas Djorghi. I'm Nuka Kusmawati, happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Seringkali aku menduga, seringkali Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you.
mungkin ada asap. Kalau tak ada yang memasak, tak mungkin dapat terbakar. Kalau memang kau tak menyiram, jangan ada prasangka. Kalau memang kau tak merasa, jangan ada curigamu, bisa jadi bencana. Bencana cinta kita, bencana asmara berdua. Tak mungkin ada asap kalau tak ada yang memasak. Kemarin kau tinggalkan aku, kemarin kau putuskan aku. Namun aku tetap tabah walaupun kecewa. Menduakan kasih kita bisa jadi merana. Bencana cinta kita, bencana asmara berdua. Tak mungkin ada asap kalau tak ada yang memasak. Memasak tak mungkin dapat terbakar. Kalau memang kau tak menyiram, jangan ada prasangka. Kalau memang kau tak merasa, jangan ada curigamu, bisa jadi bencana. Bencana cinta kita, bencana asmara berdua. Tak mungkin ada asap kalau tak ada yang memasak. Kemarin kau tinggalkan aku, kemarin kau putuskan aku. Namun aku tetap tabah walaupun kecewa. Kasih kita bisa jadi merana. Bencana cinta kita, bencana asmara berdua. Tak mungkin ada asap kalau tak ada yang memasak.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.